You pray with me. Oh Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for telling us not only you've got rules for us, but that you love us. You love us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us when we break those rules. Lord, help us to love you in the same way that you love us. Amen. So today we're talking about family ministry. And for me, one of the things in my family that generation passing on faith to next generation and beyond, when my oldest, Isaac, was just a young child, my wife and I went away and left Isaac with Grandma and Grandpa. And we came back and took Isaac home, and we were putting him to bed. And it's like, he's told us, I'm not ready to sleep yet. So, well, why not? Well, Grandma rubs my back and sings Jesus Loves Me. And so a tradition was born, something that Grandma did, rubbing Isaac's bed as we were putting him to bed, singing this song, Jesus Loves Me. So I can't help but sing that song, but think of my grandma sharing with my son, her grandson, that Jesus loves him in a loving, kind way. I think that's what family ministry is. Why is family ministry so important? It's about passing on faith from one generation to the next. And that's what Deuteronomy, the whole book of Deuteronomy, is about. It's about the people of Israel have been wandering in the desert for 40 years, and they're about ready to enter into the promised land. And so Moses, one last time, sits down, and he goes over with them the commandments that God has revealed. Martin Luther says this about the book of Deuteronomy, that in this book he reestablishes and reteaches the law. But at the heart of the law are these two basic commands: have faith toward God and love towards one neighbor. All of God's law comes down to that. And so we heard in Deuteronomy that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our soul and all our strength. The commands that God gives us are not just to be something that is on a piece of paper, but God wants them to be on our hearts. And the way that we share that with the next generation is to impress them on them. Someone who's big in family ministry, Reggie Joyner, takes these passages from Romans chapter 6, and he says, you know, the time when you sit at home, that's kind of your hangout time, when you're eating meals, or you just have time together as a family. When you're walking along the road, that's the day, if you're ever driving the car with a kid, all right, you have them captive, okay? Talk about your faith with them. And when you rise and when you lay down, throughout the whole day, use it as opportunities to share your faith, who God is, what he means to you, what he has done for you. Basically, God's saying, love me. Love my word. And if we do that, God promises us he will be with us. And so it really comes to a forefront in Deuteronomy chapter 30, our second reading, that this was the very last words that Moses shares with his people. Moses couldn't go into the promised land. And so the Israelites were ready to go in under the head of Joshua. And Moses, one last time, says, God is setting before you life and prosperity or death and curses. It's your choice. If you want life, if you want blessing, then love the Lord. Walk in his ways. But know that if your heart turns away from God, if you love other gods, that's the path of destruction. That's the path of death. And so Moses says, choose life. I'm begging you. I'm not going with you, but choose life. Parents, tell your kids what God has done for you. How you wandered through Israel and your sandals didn't wear out. That every day there was manna and quail. Remember how God cared for you so that when you go into the land flowing with milk and honey, when you harvest from fields that you didn't plant, when you live in homes that you didn't build, when you have everything in great abundance, don't forget the Lord who has given you everything. Choose life. I think it's great that Jesus echoes this in the passage from Luke. You know, we're told to choose life. When Jesus is asked, what is the greatest command? Jesus hears this answer, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yeah, love God, love people. Do this and you will. Did anybody catch what that last word is? Do this and you will
live.
Do this and you will live. At the heart of family ministry is loving God and loving people. And we as adults, when we do that, our kids see it. They catch it and they imitate us. And so one of the greatest gifts that we as a church can do is to do this, to love God, to love people, to let that be as we grow as disciples of Christ, as we care for one another, as we share the love of Jesus in the community, we pass on faith from one generation to the next. Amen? Amen. Hannah, I need your help. Sometimes I think I don't do the best job of explaining things. So Hannah's going to help talk a little bit more about flush out what is family ministry and what does that mean for Talmadge Lutheran Church. And first of all, did you know that Hannah's full title, all right, is the Director of Growing, Caring, and Sharing Children's and Family Ministries? That's a mouthful, isn't it? All right. And your job description is really short, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. And so today we're talking about family ministry. So what does it mean to be a director of children's and family ministries?
Well, first of all, it means my title is very long. but secondly, it means that I get to pour into the children and the families here at Talmadge Lutheran. A lot of times, the things that you see are working with Sunday school or the Mothers of Preschool program or doing chapel with the preschoolers. But really, it's about building faith in our kids and walking alongside parents and families as they do it. So it's a lot of working with parents to encourage them, to equip them, to empower them to talk about faith at home and to really invest in their kids. Because I can't do it alone. As long as my job title is, I'm not Superwoman. So we have to partner with the people who have the most influence over the kids, and that's you guys.
And so that's your children and family ministry. I think it's easy to understand children's ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, that Sunday school and VBS. But when it comes to family ministry, what exactly in your ideas is family ministry?
So I'm going to throw some big words at you here. Family ministry is intergenerational discipleship. So intergenerational, lots of ages working together. Discipleship, becoming more like Jesus and helping others become more like Jesus. And really, it's a cradle-to-grave kind of ministry. So it's all ages working together to pass on that faith. And like you said, Pastor, a lot of people think that children's ministry and family ministry are kind of synonymous. I obviously do both of those things. A lot of people in different churches do children's and family ministry. And you might think it's just the Sunday school or it's just a program. Mm-hmm. But family ministry isn't just a box of something you take out and do once for an event and then put it away. It's not a VBS where you do it 1 week and then you don't have to think about it again till next July. But it's really a strategy for reaching the next generation. It's all about creating a culture in our church and in our homes of that intergenerational discipleship. So it's something that's going to go on for a long time. And I really want to become more intentional here at Talmadge Lutheran about passing that faith on. So whether it's the Sunday school programs that we choose, the Bible studies that we use, the events that we do, the way we spend our time here in ministry at this church, just becoming really intentional about the strategy of passing on the faith. And really, family ministry is a lot about the Great Commission, and we'll talk a little more about that in a little bit.
All right. And so if I heard you right, family ministry is from cradle to grave, mm-hmm. All right? So if you have kids at home or if you don't have kids at home, you're all still between cradle and grave, right? All right, so you are all part of family ministry. So I hope you're not checking out and saying, oh, I don't have a family. Even if you don't have kids at home, family ministry involves everyone, mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. So what does the Bible have to say? Are there any examples in the Bible, or how does the Bible guide us in family ministry?
So family ministry is not my idea. It was God's idea first. Family ministry has always been his plan for spreading the gospel. When he was creating the earth and he made the sun and the moon and the stars and all the different days of creation, he ended them with saying what? this is good, right? This is very good. But then he made Adam and saw that Adam was alone and said, it is not good for man to be alone. And we're created in the image of our triune God, which means that we're created to be in relationship. So God created Eve and Adam, and that was the first family. And that's really been God's plan all along. He wants us to spread the gospel, fill the earth with the gospel, and really the family is the engine for that through multi-generational faithfulness, passing the faith on, spreading the gospel through the world. And really, if you look throughout the Bible, you see lots of examples of intergenerational faith and passing on the faith. Remember the stories of Noah, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. We see throughout the gospel narrative in the Bible that God keeps saying, teach this to your kids. He called the Israelites to be a special people, called by him to bless the world and to share their faith with everyone around them. And so it's really something that God planned from the beginning, right when he designed us to be in relationship and to be in families.
So it really also goes into the Great Commission, right? Go and make disciples, and we're the disciples that God puts, not in Africa, but he puts right in our doorstep, right in our homes, or start with our kids.
Right, yeah, right? Go and make disciples seems like a really big job, right? He wants us to fill the whole earth with the gospel, and I don't know about you, but if you ever really thought about that big task, it can seem a little overwhelming, right? Not all of us want to or have the funds to go to Africa, to travel the world, but we have the most influence with our families. The go and make disciples for you can start right at home, and God placed you in that place, in the people in your lives for a reason, and he wants the Great Commission to start with you right where you are.
And if you don't have kids, maybe it's nephews or nieces or grandkids, or mm-hmm. if you don't have anybody in your home, who do I have influence over? Who can I share the love of Jesus with others?
Everyone here,
yes.
Because we are a family of Christ here. So if you woke up this morning, if you're breathing, if you're here with us, you're part of family ministry and passing the faith down here at Talmadge Lutheran. I know a lot of you are grandparents. Maybe you watch your grandparent or your grandkids. Maybe on a regular basis, you might have nieces or nephews. But the fact that you're here means you're invested in this faith community. And as a faith family, it's all of our jobs to disciple the next generation.
Now, there's a great example in Timothy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit more about the story of Timothy.
So if you'll remember Timothy, we hear in 2 Timothy 1:5 that his mother, Lois, and his grandmother, Eunice, taught him the scriptures from when he was young. We hear that they taught him the sacred writings, so he had a really good biblical foundation, an understanding of what God's word said as he grew up. So he got that discipleship at home. And then as he grew older, because he understood what God's word said, when Paul came along and invited him to join him on his missionary journeys, Timothy was able to say yes. And that's a really great example in the Bible of how a church worker, if you will, Paul, and the family at home, Lois and Eunice, worked together, they partnered together to be intentional about discipling Timothy. So that because of the faith that was built and passed on to him by his family members, when he grew older, he was able to live that faith, and it was something that was integrated into his relationship with Paul and being a missionary, because the church and the home worked together to influence him.
Great. That's a great example. And you know, this whole generational thing, whether it's young ministering to old or old sharing their wisdom and experience with young, it's one generation commending God's works to another. Sometimes kids do a great job of that. Do you guys love the children's message? Sometimes they speak truth that say, oh, that is great. And there are times that then God uses us to share those same things with our kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and an example of something we've already done here at Talmadge Lutheran of family ministry, I want to share with you. A couple months ago in our MOPS program, our Mothers of Preschoolers program, I invited some older members of our congregation, moms who had done it before, okay? They experienced motherhood, their children have been raised and grown, and I invited them to come to our MOPS program, and they connected with some of the moms who are in the trenches right now, okay? Moms that have kids 5 years and younger, and those moms that were experienced were able to share some of their experiences. They told funny stories, they told about Christmas traditions. We asked them funny things like, tell about a time your kids embarrassed you in public. So we got to hear some fun stuff like that. But we also had an opportunity for the moms to ask questions like, when I'm really angry, how do I parent with grace? Or when I can't find time to fold the laundry, how do I find time to pray with my kids at home? And we were really blessed by that intergenerational discipling. The moms who had done it before, who had gone through it, had the wisdom to share with our younger moms who needed that encouragement. And so that's a really great modern day example of what family ministry looks like and what we hope to keep doing in our congregation.
And so kind of what I've heard you said, that there is it's not just parents dropping off their kids and saying, Hannah and Kyle and Pastor, you teach their kids everything they needed to know about Jesus. You know, you've got Sunday school, we've got confirmation, we've got youth group. As a parent, I've done my job. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's, it's easy to think that, but passing on faith is more than that, isn't it?
It's way more than that. If you think about it, we live in a culture where we like to have other people do things, right? We pay for dry cleaning. We pay to have our landscaping done. We pay to do all these sorts of things that we outsource. But faith is so important, and it really requires the power of both the church and the home working together. To quantify it for you guys a little bit, if you think about it, we know there's 52 weeks in a year, and in one calendar year, the church might have between 40 and 50 hours of influence over a child.
Wait. A whole year?
Yes.
The church, okay, church has 40 to 50 hours of influence in the lives of our little people.
That's it. Yeah, if you think about Sunday school, worship, and then taking to consideration traveling and vacations and sick days, because we're not always there, kids aren't always able to be there every week, the church might have, best case scenario, 40 to 50 hours of influence in a year on your children. Compare that with the 3,000 hours that families have to influence their children. And that even takes into consideration time for sleep and for school and for meal times, right? So it's not too crazy to think about, but 40 hours versus 3,000 hours of influence over a child in 1 year. And if you combine those, we're only going to maximize the impact we can have over the next generation. So the light of the church is so important, the yellow of the church, if you'll see, we're called to be a light on a hill. Mm-hmm. We're called to share the gospel. We gather together for Sunday school. We hear the word of God. We take communion. We're baptized. The power of the church has a really important role in family ministry. But the red, the love of the church, the love of the family, the unconditional family love, you just can't beat that power. And so when we combine together, I want us to be an orange church. I want us to be an orange congregation. So our love from the family, the light of the church, can combine together to really maximize our impact on the future generations and discipling them intentionally.
And that's why you chose your Sunday school curriculum, because it's a really an orange curriculum that today at Parent Ignite, all right, if you go to that after during the Sunday school hour, we're going to talk more about what that might look like and what resources we can take home. And grandparents, there are things that maybe you can glean from that you can pass on to your faith. So faith is this is for everybody, right? It's not just for parents, but this is a whole congregation it takes to pass on faith from one generation to the next.
Right. We've talked a little bit about, well, a lot about, so far, parents and children. And some of you might be thinking that you're out of that stage of life. But really, family ministry is about making stronger families. So that includes parent ministry. That includes talking about relationships and money and walking through people or walking through life with you when it comes to times of trial or times of sadness. Strong families equal a strong church. So even if you don't have little kids in children's ministry right now, it's still for you. And we've got a video that shares a little more about that.
I think this video will capture maybe where a lot of us are. Disciple me. I think that's what our goal for family ministry is. No matter your age, how can we become better and stronger disciples? That I think if each one of us, we're not going to have all the answers, but if we're walking with Jesus, the people who are watching, they're going to notice. It's going to make a difference. And so So that's why we've had, you know, readiness for kindergarten. How do you know as a parent if they're ready? Or how to bless your child. We had that a couple weeks ago. Or laugh your way to a better marriage. How to strengthen your marriage. And so we're going to be trying to be more intentional about discipling, growing in Jesus Christ, carrying out our mission to grow as disciples of Jesus. And so really, this is what we want for everybody gathered here, all of our loved ones. We want them to trust Christ for salvation. We want them to love the Lord their God with all their hearts, love their neighbors as themselves, and to have an integrated faith that they're on a daily basis praying, reading God's word, making decisions based upon what God says. And so why is family ministry so important? We talked about in Deuteronomy, I talked about that they went into the promised land. And this is one of the most sobering passages in the scripture passages, that after that, after Joshua and all the leaders that were gathered with him had been gathered to their fathers, after they died, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. And then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals, served the idols. It just takes one generation. It just takes one go around, and a generation is lost. And we want to make sure that as a church, we're a place where faith is passed on, where we're equipping parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles to be able to say, let me share with you the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus means to me. And so that together we can pass on that faith that all people may grow in the Lord. Hannah, there's a study from the LCMS that talks about what is the state of family ministry. You know, how are we doing, how is the church doing as far as children who are baptized in the LCMS and those who maybe have this integrated faith when they're adults? Mm-hmm.
So that passage from Judges is pretty sobering when you hear the story of how it was back then. But actually, we need to be realistic about what's happening in our culture today and how Christianity is happening in 2017. So the LCMS did a study that said of all the children that are baptized in the LCMS, 50% of them will go on to be confirmed. Only 50% will go on to go through the confirmation program, be confirmed, talk about their faith in front of their church, right? And then of those, only 50% will go on to be living their faith in adulthood. It'll be an integrated thing where they read their Bible, they pray, they try to walk like Jesus in their everyday life. So only 50% from baptism, and then 50% of that from confirmation to adulthood, which is really only 25%. Is that good enough for you? Is that okay? Are we okay with that? Hopefully I see some change. No, okay. I don't know about you. We are not okay with that. Okay, we want something better. We want something better.
And so that's why we're casting a vision of Talmadge Lutheran Church being a culture of discipleship, where church and family team up together, that orange, that burning blaze of faith may be passed on from one generation to the next.
And it's really something we want to integrate into all of our ministries. I know Kyle's really excited about integrating it into youth ministry as well. It's not just the age segmentation that's important for ministry. Connecting with everyone, intergenerational discipleship. That video said, disciple me. You all could have a role in the discipleship of each other in our congregation. So whether that means being involved in a children's ministry role, I promise this isn't just a pitch to get you to work for VBS, although that would be really great if you wanted to help me with VBS this summer. But when we think about the sobering statistics of the passing on the faith and of the next generation, I'm really praying that each of you will find a way to be involved in family ministry in our congregation.
We have one last illustration, and hopefully we can have a little bit of fun with this. All right. Thank you, Vandermins, for letting me use this aquarium. I want to just kind of put this into a little bit of perspective and play a little game called sink or float. So I need you guys' help to try to guess if these things are going to sink or if they're going to float. So I know we've been talking for a while, so hopefully this will keep your attention a little bit. All right, so we're going to put two things in at a time and really kind of test you a little bit to see Both may float, both may sink. The lime, sink or float? The cantaloupe. All right, we'll see. You ready? Yeah, the cantaloupe's pretty good. It's a good thing we brought a towel to wipe these wet things off of, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I think we're just going to keep throwing stuff in. All right. We're just going to throw it all in. All right, you grab the jelly. I got a thing of peanut butter, okay? Which is going to float? Is peanut butter float or sink? All right, jelly. All right, let's see. No doubt about the jelly. All right. This is kind of fun. All right. Can you take this out?
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
The question, okay? A Snickers bar or a Twinkie?
I really want to.
I know. You just want to know, don't you? All right.
I don't have breakfast. I'm so hungry.
Now it's going to sink for sure. All right. Here we go. Yay. All right. Yeah, it's going to disintegrate. Ew. Oh, that's going to be gross. All right, Diet Coke versus Coke. Put it in.
What?
The Coke sinks. Coke has 18 packets of sugar in it, and Diet Coke doesn't. All right. Ew. All right. Why are we doing this, okay? What about this question? What do our kids do when we launch them? When we send them into this world, are they going to sink or are they going to float? Our hope and our prayer is that our kids may be launched like an aircraft carrier, right? It's something that's so massive that you think, how could that float? But when you send off an aircraft carrier, does it go off all by itself? No. It's launched with a whole bunch of ships that go off beside it. And so our goal is that when we launch our young people, that they have an adult that cared for them when they were in Sunday school. They had an adult that cared for them in youth group. They had an adult that cared for them, maybe a marriage couple that worked with them through pre-marriage. Maybe they had a small group that walked through them through the questions of life. Maybe later on they were an elder or they were a mentor for a young man or a young woman. Maybe they helped with MOPS. I look out at this congregation, and I know this early service, we don't have a whole lot of younger kids, but I see a whole lot of people with a whole lot of faith, with a whole lot of gifts, with experiences that can be shared with the next generation. And so as there are opportunities to step up, to serve, to share, I truly believe that even if you can't pass it on to your own kids now, it can help your faith. And maybe it can help your grandkids and your nephews and your nieces. And maybe you can help one of our kids be launched, not as a something that's going to sink when they go into this world, but as a battleship that'll float until they make it home to heaven. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for launching us. Thank you for the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to pass on faith from one generation to the next, that, Lord, more and more people might get to heaven and that heaven may become a more crowded place. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
All right. At this time, let us give our gifts to the Lord as our offering is gathered.